Invite you to take your Bibles and turn once again to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6, as we continue our trek through the Lord's Prayer, a slow trek, looking at each word and each phrase. Lord willing, after this morning, we'll be halfway through our short series on the Lord's Prayer. There is an outline that you should have been given with your bulletin if you'd like to follow along. And there's a few more scripture references and a quote, I think, at the bottom for some further study. You'll see this morning that we have a lot of ground to cover, and I hope it's not too fast or too overwhelming, but we're scratching the surface, and that's why I've given you some other passages to look at in your own time. I'm going to read verses 9 through 13, the prayer itself, and then I'm going to jump over to chapter 7, which is still part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and I'm going to read verse 12 through 27, which I think touches on the subject of doing God's will as we look at the petition this morning, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, people of God, please hear now the word of your God. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Turn over then to chapter 7, and I'll pick up the reading of verse 12. Jesus speaking, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. That's where we'll end the reading of God's word. Let's stop now and ask for his blessing. Father, what a privilege it is to be in your presence with your people, and to be able to hear your word now. And we ask, as Jesus has just warned us, that we would not simply hear your word, but that we would also do it and build our lives upon it. This rock, this truth that you have given us, and the rock of Christ who is manifested in your word. Lord, as we've just sung from Psalm 40, we pray that we would delight to know and do your will, and that our delight would be in your word right now, and that it would become a part of us and be set deep within our hearts. Lord, in order for that to happen, we need your Holy Spirit. We need your help. And so we ask for that now, that we might be built up and sharpened by your word, and that you might be glorified, and that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we do have before us this morning the third petition, as it's called, the third petition of the Lord's Prayer. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And this morning, I'm going to just jump right in with little introduction, because there's a lot of ground I want to cover. We do want to consider, what does this petition mean? What are we asking for here? Why is this included in the Lord's Prayer? What does it mean for us and for how we live, how we ought to live in light of this prayer that Jesus teaches us? And I want us to look at 6 points together that I hope will help us unpack and apply this third petition. And so let's engage our hearts and our minds together on this morning. And I want us to see, first of all, that to pray this petition with understanding and faith, we need to first understand the Bible's use of God's will. What is meant by God's will? First, I want us to understand how the Bible uses and refers to God's will. What is meant by God's will? Well, there are two main ways in which Scripture speaks of God's will, and John actually alluded to those as he was talking about Psalm 40. There's God's will of decree, and there's God's will of precept. Or another way to think about it is God's hidden will and His revealed will. His will manifested in His works in this world, and then His will manifested in His word. God's hidden will of decree is all that God has foreordained to come to pass. What He has planned and willed in His sovereign wisdom beforehand. And this He brings about in time and history. Ephesians 1:11 says that God works all things according to the counsel of His will. That is His will of decree, His hidden will. And this will is not revealed to us. We say that it's hidden because we don't see it until it happens. We don't know what it is until God brings it to pass. But this third petition, I think, is not primarily about this will of God. His decreed will always comes about on earth, just as it does in heaven. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't pray for God's will of decree, His hidden will to be done. And I think we ought to pray that and be ready to submit to it, especially when we don't know the way we should go. We can humble ourselves and say, Lord, may Your will be done. I don't know what You want with this difficult decision, but may Your will be done. We need to be ready to submit to God's hidden will. But I think this petition is focused on God's will of precept, His revealed will. That is what He tells us He wants us to do based on what He says in His word, based on what is good and true. Hebrews 13:21 and Romans 12 verse 2 speak of this preceptive will of God, what God has revealed as good and right and pleasing to Him. And this will is not hidden. This will has been published for all to see. And we can come to know it by His word. We ask in the third petition that this will would be done on earth. And we're asking that because it's often not done on earth, isn't it? We rebel against God's revealed will. We often don't know or do it. And so we're focused in this petition on God's revealed will, His will given to us in His Word. We're asking Him to help us do what He's asked us to do, what we often fail to do. And so with that footing, with that understanding of what God's will is, to pray this petition, you also need to, second this morning, recognize the state of your will. Recognize the state of your will. Because of man's fall into sin, by nature, we are utterly unable to know and do the will of God, and we rebel against it. We are inclined to do the will of the flesh and the will of the devil, not God's will. And when we speak of the bondage of the will, this is what we're talking about. God created us with free will, with the ability to choose our actions as moral free agents. But after the fall, after sin entered the world, we are now totally depraved. We inherit a sinful nature, and that affects our wills. They are now in bondage, enslaved to sin, such that they do not choose to do God's will. They freely choose, but they always choose their own will. And so because of that, they are enslaved. They are enslaved because they choose always sin and unbelief and rebellion, rejection of God and His good will. Romans 8:7 teaches that apart from God's grace, we're hostile to God. We do not submit to His law and we cannot please Him. We cannot carry out His will. Ephesians 2 verses 1 through 4 tells us that we are dead in sins, carrying out only the desires of our sinful wills. You see, apart from God's grace, we're neither able to nor interested in doing God's will. Our wills are captive to Satan and to our own sinful self, and we deserve God's just judgment. But praise God, by the gospel, by the work of Christ, God frees us from our state of death and bondage. He renews our wills and saves us by grace and recreates us in Christ for good works, to know and actually be able to do the will of God. And that's why Paul will go on in Ephesians to call them to know and do the will of God as sinners saved by grace. And this is a big part of what's called Christian liberty, our freedom from being slaves to sin and death, our wills being set free to actually know and love and serve God, freedom from the penalty of our sin, freedom from doing only our will and not God's, freedom purchased by the perfect life and death of Jesus. Christian liberty is not, well, now I'm free to live as I will, as I please, as a law unto myself. No, it's I am now freed by Christ from sin and death and hell, freed from myself, freed from my captive sinful will, free to live for God's glory, to actually do His will out of love and gratitude. Free to pray and pursue this prayer and to see God answer it. And so we need to recognize the state of our will, both apart from and by God's grace. And that leads us to consider third this morning, that this petition also calls you to pray and to seek to learn God's will. We need to learn God's will from God's Word. Now, why do I say this? Well, because we don't naturally or automatically know the will of God. This is something we need to come to learn. And even when our wills are renewed by God's grace and freed from sin, our old sinful nature still resists the will of God. But God has revealed His will in His Word, and He calls us to come to know it through His Word. Now, yes, it is true that we can have a sense of God from His created world. We can have a sense of right and wrong by the law that's written on our hearts as we're made in God's image. But we suppress that, and it's inadequate. We need the full Word of God to reveal God's full will to us. And God's will expressed in His Word is that we repent of our sins, that we trust in Jesus Christ, that we believe the good news, the gospel, and then that we bear fruit by His grace with renewed wills, becoming conformed to Jesus Christ, living for Him. As the Shorter Catechism puts it, the Bible teaches us what we're to believe about God and what duty God requires of us. It teaches us God's will for faith and life. And yet God's Word is a big, long, complex book, isn't it? It's far from simple. It requires careful, diligent study. He calls us to become students of His Word, disciples of Christ. As Romans 12, verse 1 and 2 says, we must not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of our minds, that by testing we may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And this is not easy. It involves the total transformation of our thinking. It is a difficult, lifelong process in which we humbly seek to learn God's will in His Word and be transformed and molded by it. Psalm 143, which we'll sing later, says, make me know the way I should go, calling on God. Teach me to do Your will, for You are my God. To know and do God's will, we must be taught. We have to learn it. We have to come to know God's ways because we naturally don't. We naturally resist it. This is why Jesus commissioned the church in Matthew 28 to make disciples, which are students, learners, followers, make disciples by teaching them to observe all that I've commanded. That's the last part of the Great Commission that we quickly forget. Teaching them to observe all that I've commanded. Teaching them to do His will. We don't know God's will intuitively or automatically when we're saved. And we have so much that we have to unlearn and be unconformed to the world and to our sinful will. And this requires humbly submitting ourselves to God's Word and to His means for teaching us His will. This means not seeking to learn God's will on our own. God's way for us to learn His will is to learn it within a community of fellow disciples, brothers and sisters, within a local church, through the teaching and preaching of God's Word, through pastors and elders called and equipped to train and shepherd and even correct us at times. And sadly, there are so many lone individuals, Christians, who are trying to learn God's will on their own, with their laptop or their phone. And they're not learning God's will in community. If you think you can learn God's will on your own, you're setting yourself up to not learn His will clearly, efficiently, or effectively. I once had a professor who used to say the three prerequisites for good theology were humility, humility, and humility. Humility. Psalm 25, verse 9 says, He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble His way. If you lack humility, if you're not teachable, if you're trying to go at this alone, you will struggle to learn God's will. And you can become discouraged and frustrated, easily misled, and you can confuse your will with God's. You'll be actually ill-equipped to lead and teach others, and you will struggle to learn the ways of God. And so don't make that mistake. It's also unwise to seek God's hidden will. And this is really just a side point, but it's unwise to seek God's hidden will this way as well, on your own. When you are looking for direction about a big life decision, maybe who to marry or your calling, your occupation, a decision about a job offer or relocation, this calls for wisdom, prayer, God's word, and the counsel and input and wisdom of fellow believers and shepherds in the local church. And so, dear friends, are you learning God's will from His Word? Are you a student of His will in His Word? Are you humble and teachable? Do you know that you don't have it all figured out yet? Or are you going at it alone, trying to teach yourself? Pray that God would enable you and others to learn His will and seek to learn it with others through His Word and through His means. And then fourth, moving on, this petition is a prayer for and a call to also seek to do God's will by God's grace. We need to seek to do God's will by God's grace. Look again at verse 10 as Jesus teaches us to pray. He says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." Your will be done. The word "done" is easy to miss. We're not asking that we would merely know God's will or accept it or think well about it, but that we would do it, that we'd get it done, that we'd actually, that His will would actually be done here on earth amongst real people in the real world. We read in Matthew 7 how Jesus illustrates the folly of just hearing God's word, merely hearing God's word, but not doing it. It's like a fool building his house on sand. He also warned against mere lip service, knowing and saying the right things. Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven." And then what do you say? "But he who does the will of my Father in heaven." In Colossians 1, verse 9 and following, Paul prayed that they would know God's will in order to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work. He said in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3, "This is the will of God, your sanctification." And then he went on and explained what that meant. And it meant that there were things they must not do, and there were things that they had to do in service to God. And so you see, to pray, "Your will be done," brothers and sisters, is to ask God to enable you not just to know His will, but to do it, to live worthy of His calling, to please Him, to turn from sin and live in holiness and be conformed to His Son who did His will perfectly. And this takes self-denial, surrender, denying your own will, and being willing to say, "God, your will be done, not mine. Help me to know and want and do your will, whatever it costs." This takes relying on His strength. We can't do this on our own, in our own power. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit. It takes the grace of God. We cannot do His will without Him. And yet He doesn't ask us to. He gives us the grace we need to do His will. Philippians 2:13 says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure." Friends, pray that God would help you do His will by His grace. Seek to do His will. Yes, not perfectly, this side of glory. But bit by bit, more and more, as He works in you and sanctifies you, don't fall into the error that's common today that tries to remove all doing from the Christian life, all duty and discipline, that says, I can't be told what to do, that rejects the doing of God's moral law, which expresses and summarizes His will and says all that's required of us to believe. That error says all that is all God requires is for me to believe. That's a misunderstanding of God. That's a misunderstanding of His will, of the law and the gospel. It mischaracterizes God as a cruel taskmaster. It denies that He's our loving Father who only asks what is best for us and what glorifies Him and brings us freedom and joy. It's actually a truncated view of His grace. It forgets that His grace does not simply save us from hell and justify us, but it also begins to make us like Christ, sanctifies us even now. It disregards that our new lives as Christians are lived in Christ, in union with Jesus, and that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. In Christ, we are new creations. Our old will, our old man was crucified with Christ, and now Christ lives in us as we live by faith in Him. Now, while it is our duty to do God's will, and that's what we're praying for here, that is also a delight. It is such a blessing and a privilege to be given this joy, to live according to God's word, to do His will. Hebrews 10 says that Jesus took Psalm 40 on His lips and said, and we sang this earlier, I delight to do Your will. Oh my God, Your law is within my heart. For Christ and for us in Him, doing God's will, doing His law is not a cold, outward, legal burden, but it is a delight. It is a response to God's grace, an act of love springing from new hearts. And so, brothers and sisters, ask your Father by His grace, by His Spirit, to enable you to cheerfully do His will, to wake up excited each morning, delighting that you get to do God's will, not perfectly, but increasingly by His Spirit. Seek to do His will with delight and love for Him with all your heart and strength. But also recognize that you will not do it fully and perfectly now on earth. And so fifth, as we pray this petition, we also need to give thanks. Give thanks that Jesus did God's will on earth. Give thanks that Jesus perfectly kept the will of God. And when Jesus says, pray then like this, and instructs us here in verse 10 to pray to the Father, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Jesus did so knowing full well that none of us can do His Father's will. None of us will be able to perfectly do the Father's will. We rebel against it. We've already talked about this. We fall short. We're guilty. On our own, we're lost. But Jesus came from heaven to do what we could not. He came to do God's will on earth. He was the one man who perfectly did the will of God. He got it done. He did God's will on earth as it is in heaven. And He knew that to do God's will on earth for sinful men would cost him His life. He knew that He would take the penalty for our disobedience in order to pardon us by laying down His life. But He did this freely. He did this willingly. He said in John 6:38, I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. And that meant never once doing His own will in sin. never once going against his father, never once yielding to temptation. It meant ultimately going to the cross, laying down his life. Jesus knew this. And so on the night he was betrayed, he prayed. He said, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And then even a second time he went away and prayed again, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." Jesus knew praying this third petition would cost him his life. When Isaiah prophesied long before about Jesus, the coming suffering servant who would save sinners, he said, "Our sins would be laid on him, the spotless lamb." And in Isaiah 53:10, Isaiah says that it was the will of the Lord to crush him. It was the will of God to crush Jesus in your place. And so, brothers and sisters, give thanks that Jesus came from heaven to do God's will on earth for those of us on earth who have not and cannot do God's will. Praise God that he said, "Not my will, but yours." And praise God that it was the Lord's will to crush him that he might give you life. Look to him when you struggle to do God's will. Put your faith in him. Give thanks to him. Thank God that Jesus did his will, the will of his Father on earth. And then sixth and finally, because he did this, because he did God's will for us, he's given us eternal life. And he's guaranteed that one day we will be perfected in glory. And so sixth this morning, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Rejoice that you will do God's will in heaven. Rejoice that you will one day do God's will in heaven. Look once more at verse 10. "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." As it is in heaven. It's easy to overlook this part of the petition, but it's not an afterthought. It's vitally important. In heaven, think about it. In heaven, the Father's will is right now done perfectly, completely, with no hesitation, with no grumbling, with no resentment, with true love and devotion and delight, without fail. His will is done there in heaven by the glorified saints, even as they await their resurrected bodies. But it's also done, and especially done, by his servants, the angels, his heavenly servants, who have wills that have never fallen into sin. Psalm 103, which we'll sing in a few moments, verse 20 and 21, speaks of them. It says, "O you, his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word, bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will." When you struggle to know and do God's will, and you will, when it's hard and costly, when it's countercultural, when you don't want to deny yourself, think of those who no longer fight against their corrupt wills. Think of those who are doing the will of the Father perfectly in heaven. Think of the delight of the angels as they do his will in heaven, eagerly, automatically, with joy. Take hope and rejoice that you one day will do his will perfectly and forever without fail. That is reason for joy and for hope as you pray this petition. That's reason to keep praying this petition with longing for that day, seeking to do his will, even now imperfectly, as you await that day when you will be glorified and fully sanctified, never again to do as you will against his will, but to do as he wills and as you will. with perfect harmony of your will and His, with sheer delight. Brothers and sisters, rejoice and look forward to heaven as you pray this petition. Well, we made it through all 6 points, and really there's so much that's been left out. There's so much more for us to learn and that could be said, but Jesus teaches you and calls you, children of God, to pray to your Father in heaven, asking that His will would be done on earth as it is in heaven, that His will would be done in your life by you. And Jesus even demonstrated this Himself on earth, even though it meant laying down His life in order to give you life. But in doing so, He calls you and He frees you to understand God's will as well as your own, to humbly learn and submit yourself to His will as it's revealed in His Word, to seek to do it in humble and loving obedience to Him and by His grace and for His glory, to give thanks that Christ came from heaven and did His will here on earth, and finally, to rejoice that one day soon, you and I will do His will perfectly forever. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do ask that your will would be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And we ask that with longing and expectation that one day soon we will do your will perfectly in heaven. We ask that with so much gratitude that Christ came and did your will perfectly for us who cannot. We praise you and thank you that you have freed our sinful wills that were in bondage to sin and death by the shed blood and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we thank you that we have this delight, this privilege to serve you and to know you and to do your will on earth. Help us to long for that and labor for that and pray for that. Father, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, so that your name would be hallowed and your kingdom would come. We ask this because yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.